Up chili da nige six to mug third episode uchit up chalasi migmage ula bilingual migma a adla siawe podcast at nin delwisi Annie Claire. Welcome to the third episode of up chalasi migmage, a bilingual migma and English podcast. I am your host, Annie Claire. Coming up on the third episode, we talk about surviving the Canadian reservation system. We'll explore where we came from, where we are now, and where we're headed. Nige sixedumuk third episode a sixedukik ulnu dan nige muk saburi dajik ulnu egari a dan delmajuk wademirish reservation system. Coming up, we will be speaking with a young man from Millbrook First Nation, talking to us about his experience in urban life.
On the reserve, people fight with their hands, and they'll get in that altercation and they start swinging, and that's how they prove who's strong. But in Toronto, it's not like that. If you disrespect somebody the wrong way, you don't got a fist coming at you or a knife. At the worst case, you got bullets flying at your head. You know what I mean?
Nega siksiduka ebi dek leoid negam ilsibuktuk negam agunutto dangoi negam sabudai dat dangoi nebido unnuwe gadi.
Pick up game dang dojo na bas nebi kap sedu en matan duk tijik. Wajin duk tijik drugs am sitamiyao saadi kap sitamiyao. Kids sekali am lidaji wajihadi si saadi ka am sukoi. Alcohol, that kid when baby it. Mitwa just molesta wawjuk. Boys and girls. Wale wamugi mitwa just. Mukasadamuni nemidu go in labikop in dandel yole uchi mitwa just. Someday kisikuta la mitwa just go through out it up the same thing that I do sabudai dam suduen.
But first, the colonial origins of the reservation system. To understand the colonial roots of the reservation system, we start our show by speaking with Elizabeth St. Clair, a member of the Peguas First Nation in Manitoba. Elizabeth spent most of her working career with the Department of Indian Affairs and working with the Assembly of First Nations. I first asked Elizabeth about the earliest reservations in Canada and how they came about.
The earliest reserves in Canada were actually set up in New France, what was called New France in the province of Quebec. There was actually a reserve that was called Sillery that was set up as early as 1637. It was done to impose a sedentary lifestyle on First Nations people and Native peoples that were considered semi-nomadic, like the Innu and the Algonquin. And one of the other reasons to do that was to convert them to Catholicism. That was in the province of Quebec. And then they set up the French crown granted lands for reserves in Ganawaki, which is just outside Montreal, and St. Regis, Ganafataki, and Odinac, you know, a number of communities in the province of Quebec for the use of the Iroquois peoples, or Haudenosaunee. As part of that, it was that great peace that was established between the French and the Haudenosaunee in 1701. It was for the purposes of peace. And when we look at, we jump to the Royal Proclamation of 1763, the Royal Proclamation declared all the land west of the Appalachian Mountains to be the exclusive domain of Aboriginal peoples and required treaty negotiations if the land was to be surrendered. In Atlantic Canada, it was different again. But the bottom line was that it was the governments of the day that imposed the reservation system on the people, because there were people that wanted to take treaty and others that, and it was about treaty making, and some people wanted to take treaty, others didn't want to take treaty. I made reference to the Royal Proclamation, you know, because it was government basically deciding for First Nations what happened to the land, even though First Nations had been living on the land for centuries before European settlement. So basically, this is where the reservation system came from. Further, there was an Indian Act of 1876 that basically set up the methods through which Indian status and reserves were governed by the federal government. Of course, this act has been amended several times because of discriminatory policies and that sort of thing, but it was the basis for the reservation system. In terms of the reserve system, it involved agreements to forfeit lands and rights that weren't always honored or understood or properly spelled out. So basically, in a nutshell, that's the basis of the reservation system.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Circling, circling together. We are singing, singing a heart song. This is family. This is unity. It's a celebration. This is sacred.
Upchile jat nige 62 mo upchila simik mage nige 62 ki majuine nige 62 ka ebit play with ilsi book to televisit mary paul negam agono tangoi negam nemido pickup ka tangoi negam sabodai ta tando jigisa wigit pickup amu kasad muk tangoi nemido sad muk kisi bilu like this tangoi delia onnoe gadi. How is life living under rest
apche yan nen maker lugoi pejusyan e pickup na right way geko no jumu tan delu te mai sigwet so mo kada utto ma mo geiru apta e sigwet mo geiru apta e akaha mo geiru apko e drugs mo geiru apko e wego biko pe ju siane biko e mane tan du be ju siane ma festin sigwet kwada mai jam kada utto ma wa apla mia e no weski go down du ju sku ke lie ya tan go e learn e with sku buka from my father am kis 16 doje ya de na alcohol ka mi mba bo alim bo sangko every day swell every weekend mo ba gio we go 20 some doje ya ne ma first one kit to se ku ke pul sangko ya we go ka e go ke nun jak after that I go ke nun jak na drugs and kuch pochi do look at drugs pochi do look at don't to from is all go bunny kit and kuch mest do look at is na all got me ja pitas ko na moch and to se look at e look ya ba ni pas mo kit look no ko pas ni un ja pa ki look no and do der a kwe wana un ja no a look no pick up came down do jo na bas ne mi ko se do mat do ti ji Wajin do tisi drugs, drugs am sitamiyao, saadi kam sitamiyao. Kids agali am liraji waji hadisi saadi ka am sukoe. Alcohol, det giet when baby it. Mitu ajis milasta waujik. Boys and girls, walei wamugi mitu ajis. Muka sadamuni nemitu ko ingla bikop, nindan dili ulei ujik mitu ajis. Some day kisi kuta la mituaji sa go through out tira apula same thing da ero sabu da item sa duen. Sada mo kisi jigla da ikla da ik pero padro wallet. Sada mo ka kisi na ada ik na kamowe. School out tiri mituaji sa mitu tiri sa every day. Nike mo mitu ni mitu tiri kai mo disi mituaji sa. Aliole tu tisiga suko e counselor at mudagulu suti ka liola du dis suko e labiko including children women and children I mean young ones young girls that have been children that am gaza de mula e mlen biko te ari gaza mi ole tu tisiga ola uchik especially mi joatisk And in West Kigwe la big cop na basta in the miduna negamowe. And up in Nunjaka and the midu di zap mao. Me came on the Ninamogo de la Mogo in the midu of Nunjaku, Ugan Kasan Bank, me will all tea this up. All my life when in Nunjaka, look when I big cop because I don't go in the midu and in big cop.
Why is it so hard to live in your community and what is the challenge?
Tandel way up. Timia kitchen to what I grab big cop, give me a nemido msukoi walai, was I nigger right now? Uncomfortable a winook. Every day book a stress, said a glowing drive la big cop. Sadamokai. Mudo don't you do a game and la big cop more help, bacon hook? No ei ane mekiskaa help pedeko nike banam totally mogo ekno bana mo help mogo e. Eru te counselor at Jenny Dart is done do do about on my so tisik daga mo abo on mo atis tik majwino ka miswa atis ka am situan na are de wikas labiko pasan nike mogo ui monin labiko pepikas tandelia itik mo help ekno.
What do you think needs to be changed in the community?
What am I taking or big cove? What am I taking or outside garbage? I love Kadek. Nuda Abo, what am I taking or counselor at a band of us down there to look at? Nuda, what am I doing? Unjewa.
Would you ever want to leave the rest and why or why not?
Emia change wa da ekstra biko lagi cha arbuka ai saw ya kami nuci migu digi biko pa mia mugi change wa da nu na ajira tikla ek ni biko sato mu ki tikla ya asam yo asam sadi we kum su ne migi mi jwa di skole tu ti ga us ko e pa mu ni mi du an ne ko yo na ajira sia arbu biko.
Where do you think you'll be in 5 years from now?
5 years or now, like right now, like Dandelwe up in Dandelia, it's a big corp. Soon I eat it, a big corp, give me a change chevic. I'm a change chevic now. We gave to Dandelia, yes, so Adam and big corp, because now all depends. Nunjak, give me a do we meet is a big corp, I eat it at noon within 5 years or more. Right now, then, the Iakahaliga we up, but a nigger. Mo healthy o. A sara mo kisi I man let it more than 5 years. Kat nun jank at nin. Sara mo kapsa koi wulai gen we chit nin. At nige right now nin, o kia sara mo weda mai. Sara mo kisi kuida wi an dante luta mai. At hopefully I this show to look at and need to look at before I can look at and so go and get to look at. At least push a while to get to look at now. Look at now. And support the wasu tino nega mok. Mubala I kudu ni miya I kali yo ule chi chik nun chak. Sige nin. Right now nige da name nin. Ne e ule chi. As a mugit luko. Naspi welfare. I'm making a welfare mechanism. What I get support the wasi. $92 a week. That's nothing. Still, you can't afford, barely afford food. Barely can afford clothes. But because I'm the Lord, but I'm healthy. I'm wasn't because it's a healthy week up and I'm involved in some drugs. I mean, alcohol, cigarettes, violent stuff. I'm still in big corp, I'm healthy. And that's all I can say about myself, really. It's mostly just alcohol, cigarettes, marijuana. I barely drink. Once in a while I'll drink. Alcohol, and that's what's killing me is alcohol, cigarettes. And other than that, I'm sad about everything.
Thank you, Mary. Coming up, we talk with RJ Marble about the urban Aboriginal experience in Canada. But first, a musical break. This is City Natives with Straight Chiefing.
I'm back upon my grind now, working on my days off and up all night in the studio, just hoping that it pays off. I've been raw, I'm too nice, my whole team's the realest. City natives, TMG, y'all know what the deal is. I'm just living my life and I'm doing my thing, feeling alright, it ain't hard to tell. They wanted to see us fail, but fact is, we doing well. Why's that? It's cause we working while you're sleeping, girl. Let them know we riding through the city, straight chiefing.
Straight up, I save up, they make us pay your way up. Can't say say it ain't enough. Blazing blunts, lace our base with chaos. Rather lie than be a snitch, so we make our statements way off. We ain't ape shit, that's when we break your face and take your leg off. Catch them by surprise, for the raps we have designed to attract your ratchet minds. Rappers like this passion, I witness sickness in these action packing times. Bitches can't handle business, get your asses back inside. And I'ma be lurking like a beast then.
We're working while you're sleeping, riding through the city straight chiefing. We're working while you're sleeping, riding through the city straight chiefing.
I stay up, I'm grinding, cakes up and I'm shining. The game don't know silence, just liquor, hoes and diamonds. I'm back at it, I rhyme with it. My team rapping for 5 years, just don't take our time with it. We lift off, fly with it. Who's laughing at my critics? Bitch ass don't know business. My team about show business, gonna go get it, there's no limits. Fuck the haters, go on with your fake lives. I'ma do my thing, keep going for the main prize.
I hit the stage and I'm ballin', to the top and I'm never falling. I'm a king and I'm sitting on my throne. Fuck the help, I did it on my own. Now I did it with the click, admitted that I'm sick. Every time I get up on a microphone and spit, I prove I'm legit, nothing new to the hit. So when the beat drops, start moving your hips. I'm sick with it, yeah, I'm twisted. Never really give a fuck about a critic that didn't listen. So pay attention, I'll take you for a ride. Best believe that I put the pedal to the floor. Got the devil at my door, and I say fuck him, really ain't nothing. I'll get it on my own if I really need something. This my life, end of discussion, why?
We're working while you're sleeping, riding through the city straight chiefing. We're working while you're sleeping, riding through the city straight chiefing.
You are listening to Jalasi Mi'kma'ki, and that was City Natives, Straight Chiefing. RJ Marble is a 23-year-old Mi'kmaq from Indian Brook, Nova Scotia. Like over 300,000 Aboriginals in Canada, RJ has been living off-reserve most of his life. While life on the reservation isn't easy, urban living for Native people in Canada presents problems of its own. I interviewed RJ at the Mi'kmaq Friendship Center in Kijibuktuk, otherwise known as Halifax, Nova Scotia.
My name is Roderick Joseph Marble. I'm 23 years old, born on March 23rd, 1992. I'm originally from Indian Brook. My mom moved us off the reserve up to Ontario, where I lived in Toronto. Life was hectic. I lived in Regent Park in Toronto, a ghetto neighborhood. Pretty much grew up in jail, constantly fighting, robbing people, just living a messed up life. I grew up contained. Grew up in a cell, didn't really get to experience a lot of stuff at all, actually. Just violence, learn not to trust anybody, watch your back, watch your surroundings, you learn to read people. Some of the city's okay, but not where I was living. When I was 16, I was still in a young offender center, but my mom moved back to Nova Scotia. She's like, oh, when you get out, I'll pay for your ticket so you can move home. I just chose to stay up there, so I was on my own from 16 till about 19, then I decided to move back down. It's a weird environment, because if you know the people in the neighborhood, as long as you don't leave North Side, as long as you don't travel down South Side, Regent Park, you're fine. If you're from North Side, you stay on North Side. If you're from South Side, you stay on South Side. If you get caught in the crossfire, it's not a good outcome. Crackheads, alcoholics, bums are all over the streets. People getting shot, just constantly people being robbed, getting messed up. On the reserve, people fight with their hands, and they'll get in that altercation and they start swinging, and that's how they prove who's strong. But in Toronto, it's not like that. If you disrespect somebody the wrong way, you don't got a fist coming at you or a knife. At the worst case, you got bullets flying at your head. You know what I mean? I lost a lot of friends. Pretty much everybody I know since I was a kid is either in prison, and the last couple of friends I had just died. My best friend just died before I turned 22. When I was in Renews. But as long as you stay around Northside Regent Park, you're known there, it's an alright environment. People look out for you and shit. But you go anywhere near Parkdale or Southside Regent Park or out to Scarborough, it's not looking good. I always visited the reserve. I even visited a couple reserves out in Ontario, but I never really lived. Well, I did, but I don't remember living on a reserve now. Well, the reserves I was on, like it's family based. Everybody knows everybody, and most people look out for each other. Yeah, there's fights, and they do got their issues, drugs and stuff, just like every other community. The difference is there's nothing on the reserve. They don't give Native people any kind of support systems, really. You know what I mean? They just stick them off in a little area and say, stay there, and that's where you belong. And then in the city, there's all kinds of supports and stuff, just nobody chooses to use them because they're caught up in a lifestyle. They don't want to change. You grow up at a young age and you see people selling drugs and making money and buying BMWs and shit, and that's what you want, right? You don't think about, oh, I can go to school and have this when I'm 30. You want it now, you know what I mean? You want a chain, you want to look good and fresh clothes, and the fastest way to get it is illegal, right? I wouldn't want to live on most reserves now, because they're stranded off, they got nothing around them. Everybody, you know, trying to cope with doing nothing, boredom, getting high, getting drunk, fighting. Most reserves aren't the nicest of environments at all, you know what I mean? There's nothing there. The government probably doesn't want us to have nothing there either. Like, oh yeah, you want to open up a health center? No. You want to open up a gambling spot? Hell yeah. Come give us your money. Pay some taxes.
And what's it like behind those eyes that watch the weary world go by unnoticed, unrecognized, unbowed, uncowed, unbroken?
Pandora's well, Ali Narjitan, Deliagono Dumingil, Tandojim Tueg, Wigin Twin. Urban life pasagaydok tan dojim jeme ajim tuwe tan deli wigin onnuwe gadi pasanige dal logudi tamiel taik tali koaska dukka msakoi nige sixru ebit paddy doyle bedwell negam agonu tan deli gina magic no oldjik atan deli abo na magic negam oksiawidano asawi abo na masutno. What can we do when our people have faced so many problems from generation to generation and so much discrimination? Paddy Doyle Bedwell thinks one of these solutions is education. Paddy has worked for decades as a lawyer, as a teacher, and with the Transition Year Program at the Dalhousie University. I interviewed Paddy at her office in Kitchibukdu.
Hi, I'm Paddy Doyle Bedwell. I'm a Mi'kmaq woman from Puddleledec, and I'm also from Maine, and I'm an associate professor at Dalhousie, and I teach Native Studies, and I'm a lawyer, and a writer, and a mom.
Describe the Transition Year Program.
Okay, the Transition Year Program is a program for African Nova Scotian and Aboriginal students who are mature students, who have been away from school for a long time. And sometimes there's students that have just been out of high school for a couple of years, but the whole purpose of the program is to prepare students to go into university. So people who wouldn't be able to get into Dal, but need that extra support, need that extra help, academic support too. So the TYP program, the Transition Year Program, provides academic support, provides financial support. We have our own courses, like I teach Native Studies in the Transition Year Program. The Transition Year Program has been part of Dalhousie for 45 years, and there's been 1,000 or more students that have graduated who have gone on to university. They become lawyers, they become social workers, teachers, they've gone on to do master's degrees. The way I look at the TYP is that the university has these very narrow and limited, I think, ideas about who gets into Dalhousie. This idea that you're 18, you came out of grade 12, you have, 80 plus average, and in the Mi'kmaq community, we often are older when we go back to school. We have kids, some of us are single parents. So it expands the idea of who comes to university. To me, it tells us that we can be successful, even if we don't meet those narrow little, it must be 18 years old, must, have an 80 plus average, that even if we're older and have kids and maybe had a varied education, maybe we didn't finish grade 12, maybe we only did a GED. Doesn't matter. That's what TYP is about.
What difficulties do Aboriginal students face?
Some of the difficulties that Aboriginal students face in university is the culture of university, learning styles, the way that some professors approach a subject. One of the other issues is that we don't see ourselves in the curriculum, and that's starting to change. Racism is a big problem. Separation from our communities is a big problem.
My next question was, can Mi'kmaq people get jobs in their own community when they have completed their education?
I think sometimes what happened in the past is that there's this concept of called lateral violence. Trish Montour used to say we have internalized colonialism. So if I think I'm stupid and can't do anything, and I think that I'm not worth very much because I'm Aboriginal or because I'm Mi'kmaq or because I'm an Indian and I believe all that crap that the mainstream society says about us, then when I look at someone else who's Aboriginal, I may think the same thing. I think that idea of internalized colonialism has prevented, in the past, a lot of people from getting jobs in the community. And when I worked for the band, you know, one of the things, you know, it's like when Indian Affairs showed up, like first of all, if they were Aboriginal working for Indian Affairs, people didn't like them. And then if they were non-Native people working for Aboriginal Affairs, then it's kind of like they had all the knowledge and they were kind of had more respect than they would give to the people who worked in the community. And I think it's all a twisted ball of colonialism. And I think we're moving out of that.
Finally, I asked Patty what she thought about the reservation system.
I think sometimes a reservation is a double-edged sword. It's like we're all together with our family. Our language is spoken. It's a way to keep ourselves connected to our family and our culture. But then when you think about the history of it, it was created to keep us separate, to turn us into good white people, to get us away from hunting and fishing. It was like a prison, you know, with Indian agents telling us, you know, if we had permission to go off the reserve or if we didn't have permission, and totally being under the control of the federal government. That part I don't like about it. And that's still in existence, you know, when people are so poor. I think sometimes what happens is people get stuck there. They're afraid to go to school, or they're afraid to go get a job, or maybe they can't get a job because there's no childcare. And the other thing about reservations is that the government put them in places that were far away from everybody. So, I mean, can you imagine when my mother went to residential school in 1929, she used to tell me that they used to go from Chapel Island to Askasoni on the water. And they had a horse and buggy and a little car, like that they borrowed, like everybody kind of used this little car. And I think, you know, and I'm driving to Escasoni now from Chapel Island, and I'm like, wow, this is far to go in the wintertime on the water by horse and buggy. And we were just isolated. And in Sydney, they had a reserve that was on the main road called King's Road, because the province wanted to develop that land. They moved the Mi'kmaq people out of that area and put them back in a swamp. So oftentimes the reserves weren't the best land. Generally they said, okay, we're going to put Indians on a reserve so we can teach them to be good white people, to teach them to farm. And then they would put us on land.
Thank you, Patty. Balalim Patty. I hope you enjoyed listening to Upjalasi Mi'kma'ki. Walaliyot Dandel Siksidamo Upjalasi Mi'kma'ki Upnamul Tokso. Mm-hmm.